Well, it's good to see you this morning, and I'm so happy to be back from India, and I'm so grateful for your prayers for us as we were on our journey together. I'm more excited than ever about our partnership with the Indian Baptist Society. We had the opportunity to conduct training conferences on two different occasions with more than 100 of the leaders of the Indian Baptist Society. And they reported to us that last year, that network of churches that we partner with saw more than 1,500 new people baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And on top of that, they started more than 300 new house churches. And so we are partners with them as we give and as we go and as we pray for our brothers and sisters in India. On top of that, got to spend a lot of time with the leaders of the Bangalore Baptist Hospital, another very important partner with us there in the work in the state of Karnataka. And God is doing amazing things at the hospital. And I just want to bring you that report and let you know I'm more excited than ever about our church's involvement, not just in reaching people here in Fort Worth, but to the ends of the earth. I'm going to tell you, it doesn't get any more uttermost and ends of the earth in India. If you look on a globe, it's on the other side of the world. Well, open your Bibles with me this morning to Acts chapter 8. And we're studying the book of Acts, which is the message of God's unstoppable quest to change the world through the message of the gospel of his son, Jesus Christ. And it is unstoppable. We've seen to this point in our study of Acts that persecution can't stop it, that these believers just go somewhere else with the message of Jesus Christ, that cultural barriers can't stop it, that someone like Philip, here in Acts chapter 8, goes to a very unlikely place called Samaria, where he proclaims the gospel, and there's a great spiritual awakening there. And yet, here in the last part of Acts chapter 8, yet another cultural barrier falls to the gospel when a man from Africa puts his faith in Jesus Christ. Now, there are three main characters in this account that we're about to study. There's the Philip the evangelist, there's the Ethiopian man, and there's the Lord. But the hero of this story is the Lord. It is the Lord who zeroes in on this man who is far from God, an African man who is seeking God. What a gracious God we have who goes after sinners. Isn't that wonderful? That's how you and I got saved. God came after us and used human vessels to communicate the gospel to us, but it was God who came after us. And this is the business of God. And it needs to be our business as well. A few weeks ago, Nan and I had dinner with some friends from the UK who were visiting in Fort Worth. A husband, a man by the name of Graham, was saved, came to Christ while they were in Fort Worth before returning to the UK. And I'll never forget the first Sunday that Graham and Martha came to our church. And after the service, they sort of hung around. And then Graham came up to me and introduced himself, and he said, you know, my wife is a believer, but honestly, I struggle with believing in God. And he said, would you have time for someone like me? Well, I said, absolutely. I would be happy to meet with you. And so over the next several weeks, we met together, and I explained the gospel to him, and we talked about his questions about the Bible. And one day we were having lunch at a barbecue joint. And after we finished our meal, I looked across the table at Graham and I said, Graham, we've been meeting together now for a long time. And I want to know, are you ready to put your trust in Jesus? And with a voice that literally dripped with sincerity, Graham said, yes, I am. And right there in that noisy, crowded barbecue joint, Graham prayed to receive Christ as his Savior. That is the business of God. That's what it all comes down to, is lives changed in that way, and that should be our business as well. Now, I want to just walk us through this passage here in Acts chapter 8, if you just have your Bibles open, where I'm going to start in verse 26 and tell the story of this African man of high standing who comes to meet Jesus literally out in the middle of nowhere. And at the end, I'm going to come back and close with a few challenges for us by way of application. But again, the three persons in this story, the Ethiopian man, Philip the evangelist, and the Lord is the hero here. He is drawing this man to himself. Look at verse 26. And now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. Now notice that Philip is not told to whom he will speak. He's simply told, go south to this desert road out in the middle of nowhere. And verse 27 tells us that he started out. I'm just impressed with Philip's raw availability and raw obedience to Christ. When the Lord said to him, go south, Philip started out, not knowing where this journey would take him. He was that obedient. Now look at verse 27, 28. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. Now God has his eye on this Ethiopian man long before Philip ever met him. God knew everything about this man. He knew his nationality, that he is an Ethiopian from the northeast part of Africa. He knew about his profession, God did. He knew that he was an important official in charge of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. But more importantly, God knew his spiritual condition, because this man, we're told, had been to worship in Jerusalem and was returning from there. And he's either a Jew or he is a seeker of the God of the Jews. And the fact that he is a eunuch may indicate that he would not have been permitted to actually go into the temple to worship. And so there is still this longing in his heart. Somewhere in all of this, he has acquired a portion, a copy of the book of Isaiah. And he's reading it. And God is using this. God is working in all of this to draw the man to himself. Look at verse 29. And so the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you are reading? Philip asked. And so the Holy Spirit just prompts Philip to go and to make a connection with this man. And this is a very important skill for us to learn. That is to simply go and hang around people who are far from God and wait for God to open the door. One of our college students has been working in China this summer with some of our IMB personnel there. And one of the things they do, there is an intersection in the city where she is working where people come who want to speak English. So they just go and people go there, and whoever shows up, they talk English to each other, speak English to each other, because they want to practice their English. And so these students go, and they just hang around and watch for God to open doors. And that's such an important thing. It's just go. That's what God tells Philip to do. Just go hang around. Join yourself to that chariot. Hang around and watch for God to open the door. And that's what he does. God opens the door for him, and he does so with just a simple question. He says, do you understand what you're reading? You know, one of the misconceptions we have about witnessing is that we have to do all of the talking. Well, the fact is that one of the best ways we can show respect and love for people who are far from God is to simply listen to them. So Philip asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? And of course, this opens the door. By the way, this is the premise of the Explore God initiative that our church is a part of. You've been hearing about this. Some of you have been to the training to host discussion groups. And the premise of this is just to create an environment in our churches and out in the community where people who are far from God can talk honestly about their questions. in the process of our sharing the gospel with them. And so this is an important thing that we have coming up in the next couple of months and starting in the middle of September. So I want us to look at verse 31, where it says that the Ethiopian man says, "How can I unless someone explains it to me?" And so he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The door is open. God has so orchestrated these circumstances that the man just happens to be reading a portion of the book of Isaiah that talks about the coming of the Messiah. Look at verse 32. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is this prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" And you know, I read this, and I just have to praise God for the power of his word. That just the reading of the word of God creates a hunger within this man. That is the power of the word of God. That as we read it, God uses it to stir in us a hunger for himself. And that's what happens for this man. He's reading the word of God and he's stirred. And so verse 35 says that, "Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus." You see, the Bible is all about Jesus and the gospel. If you want to understand the whole message of the Bible, you need to look at it through the lens of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what pulls it all together. It is God's quest to reach after people who are far from him and to bring them to himself through the death and resurrection of his son Jesus Christ and faith in that message. And so Philip began to explain. And so the power of salvation is packaged in the gospel. And so whatever else we do, and along with our loving them and listening to them, at some point we have to come to explain the gospel to them. The gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is the power that is that has the potential of changing people's lives when they believe. Amen. Verse 36, it says that as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" So apparently between verse 35 and 36, something huge happens. So the Ethiopian man has apparently been saved. And now they're looking for some water in which to baptize him. And, you know, baptism doesn't save anyone. But this shows us just how important baptism is in discipleship. That right after this man is saved, he's looking for a place to be baptized. And if you've never been baptized since you've been saved, then you need to come and speak to us. This is an important step of discipleship. And we learn it here in the New Testament, places like this and in other places. Now, look at verse 37. Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may be baptized." The eunuch answered, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Now, you may be looking there, well, wait a minute here. My Bible jumps from verse 36 to 38. What happened to verse 37? Well, maybe you'll look down in some portion of your that page and you'll find there's a little note that says that verse 37 didn't appear, is not in the most reliable manuscripts from which the Bible is translated, and that may be true. However, when we read the New Testament and we read about the presentation of the gospel, that every faithful presentation of the gospel always includes an appeal, a call for people to put their trust in the message of the gospel and putting their trust in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And that's what this African man does. For it says in verse 38 that he gave orders to stop the chariot. And then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water and Philip baptized him. So this man confesses his faith in Christ, not just to Philip, but this man would have probably been traveling with an entourage of people as his assistants. And so they are all witnesses to this Ethiopian's man's confession of his faith in Jesus Christ. And verse 39 says that when they came up out of the water, that the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. So the man is saved, and he's baptized, and he goes on his way rejoicing. And once again, this is the business of God. When it comes right down to it, it's all about this. It's about one man, a woman, a young person, a child, hearing the gospel and putting their trust in Jesus Christ. This is where the water hits the wheel. This is where the rubber hits the road. This is God's business. And it ought to be our business as well. Now, let me just give you five challenges here by way of application. You can jot these down in your notes. Number one, remember that it all starts with God. It all starts with God. Praise God that He goes after sinners. He is showing mercy to a man whose professional accomplishments and personal success have still left him spiritually empty. Listen, you never know how people around you are empty. And they may have all of the trappings of success and that they have it all together, but deep down inside, they know there's something missing in their life, and God understands that. Listen, you will never invest in anyone's life that God hasn't first invested in. You will never love someone whom God has not loved first. You will never reach to someone whom God hasn't already been reaching to. He is working. And the very fact that He has brought you into contact with that person may be an indication that God is drawing them to Himself. So it all starts with God. Number two, watch for how God orchestrates our connections with others. Watch for how God orchestrates our connections with others. You know, sometimes God has to do something unique to direct our paths. And just think what God had to do to get Philip out of Samaria all the way down to this deserted road for their lives to connect, for his life to connect with this Ethiopian man. God had to orchestrate things for that to happen, and He will do that for us. And if we watch and are alert to what He's doing, sometimes God will even use adverse circumstances to allow our paths to cross and to open an opportunity for us to share the gospel. This happened for me a couple of weeks ago. Some of you know that due to my own carelessness, I had a little difficulty getting to India. I had my passport and I had checked it and double-checked to make sure that it was in order. But it wasn't until I was standing in line at the airport to check in that I noticed that my Indian visa, which is stamped in another part of the passport, had expired back in March. There's no way they were going to let me on that plane without the proper visa. Scott Gottrue was traveling with me, and so he went on and got on in and continued the flight. But I had to figure out how I was going to get my visa renewed quickly enough for me to catch up with the team. And so I grabbed my phone and I Googled. Online, I Googled visa passport renewals for idiots or dummies. And lo and behold, the very first item to pop up on that list was a business in Arlington that specialized in overnight renewals of visas and passports. And so frustrated with myself, I ran out and grabbed a cab. Nan had already left and wasn't able to come back and get me. And so I grabbed a cab and went across town to Arlington and walked into this business, a little small business. And I was immediately helped by an Indian man, the owner of the store, an Indian man. Let's call him Ron. And as I got acquainted with him there, as we were filling out the paperwork, I learned that he was from Bangalore, India. of all places. And so we continued on filling out the paperwork and going through the process. And when he found out that I was staying part of the time in the guest house of the Bangalore Baptist Hospital, he said, I grew up in the neighborhood right next door to the Bangalore Baptist Hospital. Listen, Bangalore is a city of 10 million people. On the other side of the world, how many millions of people here in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex? What are the chances that I would be standing in the office, just off of a Google search, standing in the office of a man who just happens to be from the place where I was traveling to? As a matter of fact, his father-in-law had passed away a few years ago, and they kept his body in the morgue at the Bangalore Baptist Hospital while they were making preparations for the funeral. So I'm all ears now. And I've tried to be sensitive to this guy's spiritual condition. And it became apparent that he was probably not a believer. So we finished up the paperwork, and I went home, and he called me early the next morning with the good news that my visa had been approved, and he was emailing me the documents and that I could head for the airport just a day later than I intended. But before we hung up from our conversation, I said, listen, I don't know your spiritual background. I don't know about your religious background. I just believe that God caused our paths to cross. It's no coincidence that I walked into your office and you're from Bangalore. You knew all about the place where I was traveling. Listen, God used you to help me meet an important assignment. And I want to thank you for that. Well, he didn't respond and just said, I'm glad to help. And we hung up, but I immediately sat down and I wrote an email to him. And I first again thanked him for his help. But then I went into a detailed explanation of the gospel. And I left my phone number and a website that he could look at. So I would just ask you to join me in praying for Ron, that the gospel message would touch his heart, or anyone else there in his office. You see, before we made the trip, I was praying that the Lord would open up doors of opportunity in India. But more than that, even on the plane going over there and coming back, that God would give us opportunities to share the gospel. Little did I know that God was not even going to let me get on a plane before he opened the door. So watch for how God uses our circumstances, even things that we think are a mess, how he can use those to open doors of witness. Number three, listen for the promptings from God. Listen for the promptings from God. And the very first prompting that we have comes from the very command of Jesus himself when he said, go and make disciples. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will be my witnesses. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And so we cannot escape it. We have already received the very clear command of Jesus to be witnesses of his. And we don't need to wait for an angel to tell us to do it. We've already been told. And obedience to Christ means that we prepare ourselves for opportunities that God will give us. We plan for opportunities that God's going to give us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. But having said that, there are times when we need to be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit when he wants us to speak to a specific person about a specific thing, because God knows things about them that we don't know. And so by his Spirit, he will urge us and prompt us and give us a leaning or an inclination to go. We need to be sensitive to that. And sometimes the timing stinks. There are times that God will ask you to do something and you think, Lord, not now. Surely not now. But we need to be sensitive to the promptings of the Spirit of God. Number four, prepare with the knowledge of Scripture. Prepare with the knowledge of Scripture. You see, I'm impressed that Philip had sufficient knowledge
of his Bible so that he knew that when this man is reading this portion of scripture from Isaiah, Philip said, oh, I know that passage. That's talking about Jesus. This man said, who is this? Who is he talking about here? Is he talking about himself or someone else? And Philip had sufficient knowledge of the Bible to be able to explain to him how that passage points to Jesus. Now, I want to just say that don't use that as an excuse to think, well, I don't know the Bible well enough to be a witness. No, you just be a witness. God will take care of the rest of it. But prepare yourself with the knowledge of Scripture so that you will be able to pick up where a person is and to answer their questions, or at least know enough to say, you know, I don't know the answer to that, but I know somebody who does, and we'll be glad to help you with that. So prepare with the knowledge of Scripture. Number five, just be available. Just be available. As one of my old missionary friends used to say, just be liquid cash that God can spend on the spot. That he doesn't have to exchange you, or you're just available that God can spend on the spot. Be available. You never know. That Philip probably never knew what an impact his witness made on this man's life. He may have never known that this man went on his way rejoicing. He may have never known that this man's transformed life may have sparked a spiritual awakening in an entire nation. Church tradition says that this Ethiopian man went back to Ethiopia and became a powerful evangelist that led many in Ethiopia to Christ. Philip may have never known that. And we don't have to know. The important thing is just be available. Be available. Is your heart tender toward God? To where he can use you, move you around however he wants to? Is your heart tender toward the people that you come across? That there are people who need Christ and who are searching and are hungry? Is your heart tender toward them to where you'll take time to listen to them? That's what it means for us to be available. I want to ask us to bow our heads. Perhaps right now you just need to say, Lord, I don't know how in the world you could use somebody like me, but I'm available to you, Lord. And I'm just going to do what I can do to hang around lost people and watch when the doors open. Maybe that's the big deal today for you, is just to get out of your church circle. Get out of your church circle so that you can hang around with people who are far from God and just watch for God to open doors. You don't have to kick the doors open. He'll open them. Is your heart tender toward God? Available, obedient? Is your heart tender toward the people around you that are far from God? Father, I pray that in these final moments that we're together this morning, that you'll find all over this room men and women and young people placing their lives in your hands for you to use however you wish. And we ask it in Jesus' name.